Welcome to High Point Church. My name is Shannon Dickerson, and today you're going to be learning about our authority in Christ. So if you enjoy this message today, please like and share, and be blessed.
Well, let's go in our Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And I want to encourage us today with something else regarding praise. The title of my message today is The Gateway of Praise. The gateway of praise. You know, one of the things that I don't like this example because of the negativity that's usually associated with it, but it certainly illustrates a good point, that there are out there in the world certain things that are considered to be gateway drugs, right? There are certain things that are not as harmful, they say, or as addictive or things like that. But when people start using them, it can sometimes lead to the more hardcore type stuff. Well, I believe in the kingdom of God, you got something similar. Amen. That there's certain things that if you start out practicing them, amen, what can happen as a result? You can get into more of the hardcore stuff of the things of God. Amen. And I believe what we're going to be talking about today is one of those gateway spiritual practices that can lead us into much more fruitful life. And it certainly goes in line with what we're talking about here about praise and how praise is to be a part of our life. And we learned here in Psalm 150, which is our keynote verse, the 150th Psalm. I want you to notice this with me. Debbie, let's get Psalm 150 up there, please. Psalm 150. We're going to get to Psalm 100. In fact, we're going to get to a bunch of different psalms today. But this one is really important for us because it's kind of like the conclusion, the summary of what we're studying here about the subject of praise. It says, praise the Lord.
Praise
there you go. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Amen. He says, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Isn't that awesome? Verse 4, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Now he's talking about instruments there. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So what we're learning from this is that when we're seeing this phrase, praise the Lord, this isn't just something for us to read and say, wow, that sure would be nice if some people would do it. No, it's actually a call to action for us of when you read the phrase, praise the Lord, what should you be doing? Praise the Lord. You should be glorifying God. This is not something that we're just observing somebody else do. This is something that we see as being something I am called and responsible for doing. Amen. And what we've been learning is that how praise has been given, it's basically been watered down in a lot of our church services. And I'm not just talking about here at High Point. I'm talking about pretty much any church you go to, you really don't see a lot of what you see reflected in the way God describes praise to be. You see people being very dignified, very well held together. And they're showing up, and they might have a little movement. They might lift their hands in certain ways, but in terms of much demonstrative action whatsoever, you see precious little of it in most Christians' life. In fact, in some churches, if you do anything like you saw a little bit of up here today, you might be given the left foot of fellowship and kicked straight out of that church because we don't do that here. Amen. Well, we do this here. Amen. Because this is the way God desires us to do it. And so what we're doing is we're looking at a lot of the different Hebrew words for praise. Depending on which ones you count, there's somewhere in the range of 7 to 10 different Hebrew words that describe, don't just tell us, but they describe to us what praise looks like. Amen. And so last week we looked at the most common word for praise that's in the Old Testament. It's the word halal, and it's actually translated praise over around 150 times in the Old Testament. And we learned some awesome things about what this word means. I looked it up, and it means to be clear, referring to a clear sound or a clear color. It means to shine, thus to give light, which results in someone making a show, boasting, raving, celebrating, being clamorously foolish, or acting like a madman. Now, that doesn't seem to be the description of what we see a lot of times in our praise services, does it? You don't see too many people shining, acting clamorously foolish, or like a madman. Well, that might not be because that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be that way. In fact, I think that when you get real excited about the things of God, it might cause you to act a little bit like this. Almost kind of like the spotlight's put on you. Not that you're doing it to be put in the spotlight, but just simply by the fact that you're going to stand out to be so much different than the way everybody else is doing it, many people are going to be watching what you're doing. Which, watch that. I've had people that would come to me before and they'll say things like, "Did you see such and such? And I was watching them during the praise service and they were doing this and they were acting this way and all this kind of stuff." And I want to respond to them and say, "What were you doing while all that was going on? Because you weren't praising if you're sitting there observing what somebody else was doing." Right? You know, it's easy to sit back and look and judge what everybody else is doing. But what if we all did what we had in our heart and we were doing it the way the Lord told us to do it and He was our primary focus and things like that? You know what we would have little time to do during our praise services? Know what everybody else is doing. We'd be focused on the Lord. Amen. And I think that's really what we're called to do it in a sincere, unhypocritical kind of way, to where it's just me and the Lord, I'm engaged in Him, and because my heart is so full of what He's done for me, it causes me to move a little bit. It causes me to get my feet to dance, and it causes me to lift my voice, and it causes me to praise the Lord with reckless abandon, to not necessarily be considering what everybody else is doing, but I'm only considering the Lord. And that's a lot of what we see with this word halal, is that it's describing a sort of praise that's going to make you stand out of the pack. You know, I think really what's probably been the biggest problem with most people with this is they're just afraid what people are going to think. You might have it in your heart to do something, maybe like you saw somebody doing today or whatever. You might have it in your heart to praise that way, but you just get locked up because you're so concerned about what other people are going to say if you do it that way. Well, we shouldn't be moved, or not moved in this case, by the fear of man. Amen? I mean, it only matters what the Lord thinks, right? Are people going to judge you? Are there people that are going to probably say and snicker things about you? Probably. But who cares? It was for the Lord. And when you do it for the Lord, not worrying about what people think, I believe the Lord will bless your socks off. He will honor you when you praise Him with everything that's on the inside. In fact, what I find is more when we get free to praise God real free, and we're having to step out a little bit, and boy, everything in us is concerned about maybe some eyeballs that are on us during that time, you actually get blessed more. Yeah. You get rewarded more. Because why? You're having to do it by faith more. Yeah. You're doing more being concerned with the Lord and focused on Him. And when that happens, God's blessing just really comes as a result of that. You know how I know that? Because I've experienced it. There's been a lot of different times to where I didn't feel like praising God. I didn't feel like I was going to be loved and accepted by people if I praised God that way in that place. But I have to just get out of myself and say, you know what? I'm not going to be concerned about those things today. I'm going to worship the Lord because it's the right thing to do. I'm going to praise God because I love Him. I'm not going to worry about what the person next to me is doing. I'm going to get outside of myself and I'm going to give God the glory. And every time where it's the biggest challenge to do that, I always get blessed more. The Holy Ghost just kind of comes on you and gives you a little goose. You ever been goosed before by a person? If you hadn't, get with me after the service. I would love to show you what that is. But boy, it is really nice to get tickled by the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I was thinking this morning and considering this about a preacher that I like to listen to a lot. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but Norval Hayes. How many of you heard of Norval Hayes before? Well, he said one time he was in a service, and at this point, he was First Baptist, is what he said, during this time. So, and I don't know if you know this, but in certain churches, there's just certain things you don't do in those churches. And he just, you know, just reserved and calm, and he just sit there. And the Lord started blessing him while he was sitting there praising God. He started getting just tickled by the Lord. And then the Lord speaks to him and said, I want you to get up from where you're at and start walking around the sanctuary. And he goes, I don't want to. He said, Lord, my friends are here. I don't want to do that. I got my friends here. He said, well, and he had just told the Lord, I'll do anything for you. You know, you got to be real careful that when you tell the Lord you'll do anything for him, he will a lot of times test you to see if you will. And he said, and after this long struggle, he finally got up and started walking around. And he said that when he got up and started walking around, what was on him started getting on people as he walked by them. And the whole church fell out, and just, it was a Holy Ghost movement and this and that. Why? Because one man got outside of the way he felt and started doing what the Lord told him to do. Amen. You just don't know how much your obedience a lot of times can affect other people. Amen. So when we start learning to praise God in the obedient way that He tells us to do in His Word, which we're going to get into this starting, we started this last week and we're going to continue on with it. When you start seeing all these ways that the Lord tells you to do it, it's going to be a choice. Am I going to let this be reflected in my life or not? Amen? And when I do it, watch out. God will start blessing my obedience. Glory to Jesus. I want to look at another word today. Since we looked at halal last week, I want to look at another word today which is going to be very appropriate for what we are celebrating this week. I want to look at the word today. It's the Hebrew word todah. Todah. And every time I look at a scripture that is using the word todah, I'm going to say, todah. So you'll know that it was the word todah during that time. But this is what's interesting about this word. It's commonly used for praise, but you're going to find out it actually implies something else. So let's start in Psalm 42, Debbie. Psalm 42. Now, Psalm 42 is this awesome psalm in the scriptures where we got that song back, I think it was from the 80s, called As the Deer. Do y'all remember that awesome praise song? As the deer pull the water. Well, this is where it came from. And notice what it says. It says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, say that with me. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. Now notice this. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. With what? The voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Now what is the psalmist describing right here? He was describing the situation that was in the majority of the Hebrew population. Because how many of you know, the majority of those that would consider themselves that were practicing Judaism and so forth did not live in Jerusalem. They lived in the surrounding regions. So what would happen is that when they would have a feast day, when they would have these festivals, I'd call them parties to remember certain things the Lord would do, many of those practicing Judaism would do what? They would come to Jerusalem to the temple with sacrifices, which will become an important point today, to praise the Lord together. They would come to celebrate those various feasts. And so that's what the psalmist is recalling right here. Now, why is that important? Because I want you to notice the attitude or the mentality that this psalmist says that they would go to the house of the Lord with. He says here at the end of this verse, with the voice of joy and praise. So this was the attitude that he would recall. This is the way I would enter into the house of the Lord with my sacrifices to practice this feast day. Now, what's interesting is the word that's used for praise here, todah, is not halal. It is the word todah, and I want you to know what this word really means. I'm going to, in fact, give you a very detailed definition for this, like I'm going to be doing with all of these words, because this is important to understand. This word, todah, describes this. an extension of the hand in adoration, avowal, or acceptance. So it described kind of the word picture you get is the extension of a hand. Now, it's important to understand this. You're going to actually learn this next week when we look at the word yada, that it also comes, this is where this word comes from, and it describes the extension of the hands, which will describe why we lift our hands when we come to church. Really important. But here it's kind of describing, yeah, extending your hands like as reverence for the one that you're worshiping, but I think it has an extra meaning of extending your hands with something in them that you're giving him, which is where the word sacrifice comes in. In fact, let me get ahead of myself a little bit before I continue reading the rest of this. There's actually several references to where when you see this word being used, it associates the word sacrifice with it. So help me to remember that. I'll get back to that point here in a minute. Now, one expositor said this about this word todah. By way of application, it is apparent in the Psalms and elsewhere that this word for praise is used for thanking God for things not yet received, as well as things already at hand. Amen. Do you see that? So what is it describing? It's describing that I am thanking God in praising the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. Now, can you see where we're going with this? What are we celebrating this week? Thanksgiving. And what you're going to find is over half the times that this word is used in the Hebrew language, it's not translated praise, it's translated thanks or thanksgiving. Amen. So what this word is really implying is giving God thanks for things and praising Him as a result of it. Amen? Now that's powerful to me, because giving God thanks, like he says here, thanking God for things not yet received. Glory be to Jesus. Now, this is something that's really important. I actually shared this at Healing School this week, and I want to share with you why this is so important. I remember this is how I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're new to this church and you haven't ever heard of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's important for you to get and realize that God, yes, has given you grace through the Lord Jesus Christ where you can be born again, you can be saved, but there is a second work of grace that we are to receive called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit to where we get the power deposited on the inside of us. Well, I remember I went up to receive this particular gift, and I was in a church that, man, God was moving, it was really awesome, and there was a line of people up there getting ready to receive. And the person to the right of me, when this evangelist was going laying hands on them, we were all falling out. All falling out and laying on the floor. And every person, when they got touched, something like this happened. Next person. And then it got to me, and boom, I fell out, but there was no shandalabashalabandalabata. Everybody, it seemed like, was getting filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but your pastor. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? Why is this not happening to me? And I remember I was hanging out after the service. I was sitting in a pew similar to this. And I remember I'm just sitting there feeling bad. I'm like, why am I not able to receive? Why is everybody else getting this? And it didn't happen for me. And I remember sitting there, and the Lord said, I looked up at the podium. It was an acrylic podium like this. And there was a flash that came from it that got my attention. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, go up to that altar and start thanking me for filling you with the Holy Spirit. And I went up, got on my knees, and I basically started just thanking the Lord. Lord, thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost. I thank you for giving me the gift of tongues. I thank you. And then tongues just started flowing out. Ta-da! That came miraculously. Why? Because I was thanking Him for things I had thought I had not yet received. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to learn real quick if you get serving the kingdom of God very long. This is the way God works. God does not work like, oh God, I'm really needing you to do this. Please do this. And we're begging Him for something with no faith. Our God's a faith God. And He expects you to believe it before you see it. so you can see it. Amen. And so when we do things His way, which is the best way, this is how we receive. And it's located in the Old Testament with this word Todah. So what you see here is thanking God. It's more the idea of giving God thanks for various things. Now, I want you to notice that in Psalm 42, like we read, that what he was saying was, we would come before the Lord and would do it with an attitude of joy and thanksgiving is really what's being described right there. Now, does that make you think of something else about coming before the Lord like that? Well, I'll give you a couple of scriptures. Psalm 92. We're going to have this verse on the screen, but Psalm 92 talks about that when we are coming before the Lord, what are we doing? We come before the Lord with thanksgiving. We come before His presence with thanksgiving. Todah! That's the word Todah. Amen? And go to Psalm 100 with me. I want you to look at this one with your own eyes. The 100th Psalm. Psalm 100. Now, this is one that's a little bit more familiar to you. But I want you to notice what's being described here, and then we'll get into a good point from this. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read the whole psalm. Don't be scared, it's only 5 verses. It starts off, and I don't want to read the first verse in itself. I want you to notice something else. This psalm is one of the ones that actually gives you a little title. It says, a psalm of thanksgiving. Do you see that in your Bible? Todah. That's the word Todah. And then he says this, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. I'll do it for you. Hallelujah! Again, that's not a suggestion, something for you just to observe. He says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Now, I don't know what he's talking about by lands, but I guess Macon, Georgia would be one of them lands. Hallelujah! There you go. So when you read this, you make a joyful shout. Praise God. And then notice what he says next. Serve the Lord with sadness. Is that what it says? Nah. Well, you'd think that's what it said by observing the majority of the church out there, doesn't you? You go to church and it's like, good gosh, are these people even saved? We're supposed to be the happiest people on the planet. You realize that? And when your heart has captured everything God has done for you, it's going to be real hard for any devil in hell to wipe the smile off your face. We are so blessed. So we serve the Lord with gladness. And look at this. Come before His presence with singing, we just saw in Psalm 92, and with thanksgiving. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with Todah. Amen. Thanksgiving. You enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, being thankful to Him and blessing His name. So what is the psalmist saying here? What is David saying? He's telling us here that when you go before the Lord, the process to getting into the presence of the Lord is to start by going through the gates of the temple. You go through the gates. There's no other way to get in there. And I'm going to tell you today, the best way to get into God's presence is through the gates of thanksgiving. By thanking God for things that He has done, thanking God for things He is doing, and thanking Him for things it seems like He hasn't done. And I go into those gates with thanksgiving, and I have a heart attitude that I want to praise the Lord. And what it'll do, it'll lead you into His courts then, which is the next step and the next process through the temple. And what does he say? Into His courts with praise. The best way to get into praise is by going through the gates of thanksgiving. So, like we're talking about here, and this is something that's really important to get, that when we're talking about praising the Lord, this is just one of the times, one of the many times that we are actually supposed to be praising God throughout our week. Sunday morning during the praise service, we're coming together and it's awesome. But you don't have to wait till somebody calls a praise service to praise Him. You can enter into those gates anywhere, anytime that you choose to offer up to the Lord thanksgiving. Now, when we're talking about thanksgiving, I need to correct some false notions that I think a lot of us have when it comes to this idea of being thankful. And let me give you an example. And I'll ask you a question, you tell me what's the right answer here. If you did something for me, if you gave me a gift, and I came to you, and on the inside of me, I'm very grateful for what you did for me. In my heart, I'm thankful for the gift that you gave. And I might hug you, I might express that in different ways, but if I don't ever tell you thank you, if I don't ever show you my gratitude in any way, was I thankful? I say no. To be unthankful, let me describe it this way. To be unthankful is not just to murmur, gripe, complain. To be unthankful is just simply not to be thankful. If I don't show you gratitude, if I don't express thanksgiving to you, then I'm being essentially, when you just look at the word, unthankful. Amen. Why is that important? Because it shows that you and I can have things going on in our heart. We can love the Lord in certain ways, and we want, and our heart's full of it, but if we don't ever express it, are we really fulfilling what we're supposed to be fulfilling? Amen. I need to show appreciation. See, because all I got to do to flip it on you is if you were the person that did the gift for somebody, and then the person, they might have been thankful, how are you going to know unless they express it to you? And is that going to inspire you to do more for them if they never show any gratitude for what you did? No, it's not. Because they don't seemingly appreciate what I've done, even though they might in their heart. You see what I'm saying? Where I'm going with this? It's important that you and I express verbally our gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord. Now, how you do it, this is important. There's all these ideas when it comes to thanksgiving of what you're thanking God for. You only thank people for things they've done, right? I don't go to Joe up there and thank him for putting the words on the screen today. Do I? No, I thank Joe for playing the guitar earlier because that's what he did. You follow what I'm saying? This is important because there's a lot of people who get the idea, the squirrely notion that you're supposed to be thanking God for all things, but there's some things God didn't do. There's certain things God's not responsible for. I don't go around thanking God for COVID because He didn't do it. I don't go around thanking God for death and destruction. Why? Because He didn't do it. No, I thank God for the things He's responsible for, which is every good, every perfect gift. I show gratitude to Him for the things He's responsible for. Amen? Amen? And that's important to get. So what am I doing? I am specifically thanking God for specific things that He's responsible for. Amen. And that's important to get because you need to be counting up all those things that He's responsible for in your life. What is He responsible for? What did He do for you? And you show gratitude for those things. And when you do that, when you start thanking the Lord for saving you, opening your eyes, bringing you out of darkness, you're entering through a gate, through a door. And now you're in a better position to start praising God. Oh, hallelujah. Because why? Now you've stirred up your mind to think about things God's done. In fact, Psalm 69, verse 30, I want to show you another word where toda is used. Psalm 69, verse 30, he says, I will praise the name of God, song, look at this, I will magnify Him with toda. With thanksgiving. Now, I know a lot of times we think we're magnifying the Lord by singing songs that say, I magnify the Lord. You know what I'm saying? There are actually songs out there that are written, like a very popular one would be this, I exalt thee. All right? And I think, I'm not saying we do anything wrong by saying I exalt thee, but I think technicalities are important here. That you actually exalt the Lord by exalting Him, not just by saying I exalt you. Likewise, you don't magnify the Lord just simply by saying I magnify you, Lord. Amen? You know, it's kind of like if I were to come to one of you and say I come to John today and I say, John, I magnify you. That's weird. You don't talk to people that way, do you? But in our religious circles, we do. Oh, God, I magnify you. Oh, God, I exalt you. Oh, God, I do. And we're saying all these things, and God's like, okay, I'm waiting for you to do it. When are you going to magnify me? When are you going to exalt me? Amen? No, I exalt someone, which means to lift them up, by saying things that lift them up. I magnify someone, which is to make them bigger, like a magnifying glass makes something larger that might to the naked eye seem small. I make him larger by doing things that make him larger. Not that you're going to make God any bigger than he already is, but you can make him bigger in your sight than he already is. Amen. And what's one of the ways you do that? With thanksgiving. So how do you and I magnify the Lord? How do we make him larger? How do we put him under that object like a magnifying glass and make God seem to be bigger in our eyes than he already was? How do you do it? With thanksgiving. When you start to thank God for all the things he's done, all he's doing, and all he'll continue to do, and you're doing it in the right way of specifically acknowledging certain things and recalling things that he's already done, you make God bigger and bigger and bigger to you. And guess what happens at the same time? When God gets bigger and bigger and bigger, your problems get smaller and smaller and smaller. And see, here's the problem. Most people's mountains seem so big in their eyes. And you know why it is? Because they basically practice the same principle. Not that they were thanking for the mountains and the problems, but their focus became so much on the mountain that it was magnified. And because of that, God seems so small. And they wouldn't say that's what they feel or what they believe, but all you got to do is listen to people. Amen? I did this illustration, and y'all heard me say it before. They'd say, oh, Pastor, it's so bad. It's so heavy. It hurts so bad. I got compassion for people when they're going through that, but it's like, oh, God, it's so terrible, and it's just weighing me down emotionally, but I know God's faithful. But I know what God's Word said. But it's so hard, blah, blah, blah. I'd like to say, them Christians right there need to learn where to put their butts. They just got done magnifying how big the problem was and how much they felt from a negative standpoint. And then they put a little butt just to try to seem like a good Christian and talk about God's done some good things for them. No, it should be like this. When we're talking with other people, if you're going through something that's tough, look, we all care. People care about you. And so you go to them and you say, well, how are you doing, Wendell? And Wendell goes, well, Pastor, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going through a tough time right now. But I know what God's Word said. I know how faithful God's been. Let me tell you, if you got a minute, all the things God's done for me. And you know what he just did? He put his butt in the right place. Amen. And this right here is how we're magnifying the Lord, how we're making God bigger. So here's the point I want to get to today. This is good. Is that this is how, from an Old Testament perspective, you enter into the presence of the Lord. Did you know that from the New Testament perspective, it tells us about putting thanksgiving at the end of the time of approaching His presence? Amen? Let me show you a few examples of this. Colossians. The first verse I want to show you, I'm going to show you three verses from the New Testament that show you about how thanksgiving needs to not just be what starts out our times of praise, but what needs to end our times of praise as well. Continue earnestly in prayer. This is a way of approaching God, right? Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So notice how "with thanksgiving" was put at the end. Amen. Now it says over in Philippians 4 in verse 6, you're more familiar with this one, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So notice the thanksgiving there, again, put at the end. And finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want to show you the perfect sandwich technique for approaching God. This is good. 5:16, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. He starts off by saying, rejoice when you feel like it, when it's convenient for you, when everything is going well in your life and you got something worth praising God about, rejoice during those times. Nah, I love Paul. He said rejoice always. You know what's so awesome about Paul? I'm so glad he's the one that wrote this. You know why? Because there's nobody in here. If we could somehow calculate and measure who's going through the worst time in this place right now, who's got the most coming against them, who's got the most pressure on, the most tribulation, if we could somehow figure out who that is, your problems are not even a drop in the bucket to what Paul went through. This guy went through a lot of suffering, yet he was the guy that wrote the Epistle of Joy in the book of Philippians and talked about rejoicing in the Lord always. So he says rejoice always, showing you you can do it. Amen. Now I know it seems so hard, like in our minds it's really difficult to realize, how can I honestly rejoice if I've just gotten news that I lost a loved one? How can I rejoice? Well, there are certain things, it depends on what you're looking at. If you're looking at the death and losing your loved one, yeah, it's going to be downright hard for you to rejoice during that time. But what does the Bible say? Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't say rejoice in your problem. It says rejoice in the Lord, meaning that your focal point, your perspective, is to be on the Lord. It's kind of like when Peter walked on the water. I like this as a great example of that. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come on the water. And the Lord said, come. And he supernaturally starts walking on the water. That to me would be equally as miraculous as us actually rejoicing in the Lord always. That no matter what the circumstances going on, I'm able to have joy no matter what. Right? So he's walking on the water. He's rejoicing in the Lord always. But guess what happened? When he saw that the wind and the waves were boisterous, he began to sink. That's exactly how it works with us. When we take our eyes off the Lord and put it on the winds and waves, the circumstances, the feelings, the problems going on around us, then your joy will also sink. Amen. And so what we do is we put our attention back on the Lord. It's easy to look at the winds and waves, trust me. Oh, I'm like that. I'm like the Hebrew children when they're out in the wilderness and they got all the snakes around them biting them and they're dying. And he said, man, if you'll just look at this bronze serpent up here on this pole, you'll live. I can just imagine the way it would be with especially some of you ladies who hate snakes. You got something slithering across your ankle. Could you imagine the discipline that it would take, that feeling a snake, a venomous snake at that, slithering around your foot, but I can't look. I got to keep my attention on that bronze serpent. Right? Now, you might think, I couldn't do that. Yeah, you can. If I paid you $1,000 to do it, you could. Amen. If I, honestly, John, if I got you up here and I said, man, I'm going to pay you $1,000 if you'll just let me, I want you to smile, okay? And while you're smiling, I'm just going to keep smacking you across your face the whole time. But you got to keep smiling to get this $1,000, and I'm going to do it for 30 seconds. Could anybody in here hold the smile on your face for 30 seconds if I was going to give you $1,000? Yes! Amen. Brother right there, you're volunteering, right? You want to come up here and do that. No, but what I'm saying is, anybody can do it if you're properly incentivized, if you see the value in it. We can all make a decision to do this, right? So rejoice always. And then he says this, pray without ceasing. So I want you to notice, rejoice started first. Now this approaching God is here, pray without ceasing. Then verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. So you know what this shows you? How you praise and how you pray needs to be sandwiched with the joy and the thanksgiving. See, if my prayer life does not have with it any thanksgiving, it's going to be really hard to be in faith during those times, right? Because I'm focused too much on the problem. I'm dealing too much with what the request is. But if I start off by saying, oh, I'm going into it with an attitude of joy, I can rejoice in the Lord, I'm going to keep my attention on the Lord. Lord, you know the problem, deal with it. Thank you, Lord. But with thanksgiving, I'm thanking you for all you've done, all you are doing in my life. When you do that right there, you can still walk on the water, no matter what you're going through. Amen. And it's the best way to receive from the Lord. So what did we just see right here in these verses? The sandwich technique. So guess what I want to talk to you about today in lieu of what we are celebrating this week? How to make the best Thanksgiving turkey sandwich. Now, it's some people out there, you might think you know. You're one of these type of people, when it comes to making a good Thanksgiving turkey sandwich, you pile on there not only the turkey, but the dressing and the cranberry sauce and all that stuff, and you smash it between two pieces of bread and eat it that way. Some of you might like it that way. I was raised a little bit differently. But obviously what my point is today, the key to all of this is you got to have the approaching God with thanksgiving on one side and ending with thanksgiving on the other side. And when you do that perfect sandwich technique, the Thanksgiving turkey sandwich, when you do that right there, you're going to do it right. And it's what's going to cause you to enter in to the provision that the Lord has. At least the right mentality. Amen? To enter into it. I'm entering into it with an attitude of praise and glory and thanksgiving. So guess what we're going to do now? We're going to give you another opportunity. In case you missed the boat, all of our worship team, come on back up. Thank you, Lord. In case you missed the boat the first time, we're going to give you an opportunity to praise and worship the Lord right now with a heart and an attitude of thanksgiving. Now that we've learned what it is, what are we going to do? We're going to extend our hands and we are going to offer to the Lord the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's put that verse up while they're getting ready, Debbie. The Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 22. You know, I told you earlier that the sacrifice of thanksgiving is really what this word is really describing, right? This is important because this verse right here shows us how important it is. It says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Notice the terminology. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with what? With rejoicing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So what are we doing? You might not feel like it. I'll tell you one thing, when it comes to offering sacrifices to the Lord and giving to the Lord certain things, if the Lord tells you, if you're hearing the Lord correctly and He tells you to give a chunk, write a big check, you might not always feel like doing that, right, Susie? You might not always feel like giving that much. Well, Lord, how am I going to be able to pay all my bills and all this kind of stuff? You might not have the feelings during those times, but guess what you can do? You can offer it as a sacrifice unto the Lord. So I want us to do that this morning. We're going to stand on our feet. Let's stand up. And we are going to give the Lord one more sacrifice of praise this morning and give Him all the glory that He's due. Father, we thank You this morning for all that You have done. Lord, we're grateful for all that You're doing. And we thank You for all that you will do. We come before you with a sacrifice of thanksgiving in this place, trusting you that you are going to perfect those things which concern us and lead us into your presence. We bless you and we glorify you. For you.